Before we give the definition of what bitachon means, we first have to know the answer to a very basic question. Why did Hashem create this world? What are we doing here? What's the purpose of our existence? It's hard to say that Hashem created us to serve Him, because Hashem is complete without us. He doesn't need our service. He doesn't need our mitzvot. So why did Hashem create us? What was the purpose of the world? So the Ramchal tells us that Hashem has a midah called a metiv. Hashem is a giver. He wants to bestow kindness. He wants to give good. So Hashem created a world with people in it in order to bestow His kindness upon them, to give them the good that He wants to give. So the entire purpose of this world and our creation is for one thing and one thing only, that we should enjoy the good that Hashem has to offer. Now, if that's the case, we look around the world and we don't see everybody enjoying good. Doesn't seem to us like the purpose of creation is being fulfilled. Not everybody is happy all the time. So the rabbi continues and says that the good that Hashem has in store for us is in a place called Olam Haba. That's where the true good is. That was the reason of the creation of the world, for us to enjoy and to be eternally happy in Olam Haba, where we will bask in the radiance of the Shekhinah. So the rabbi continues and asks, why did Hashem have to first bring us here to this world? Why didn't He just put us directly in Olam Haba? If that's where we'll get the true good, and that's where we'll really enjoy, and the whole reason we're created is only to get that enjoyment, so just create us right there, and finished. So the rabbi says that there's something called Nahama de Kisufa, which means bread of shame. If somebody is given a present over and over and over, he feels indebted to the giver. He doesn't feel true satisfaction in the gift because he didn't earn it. He didn't work for it. He's just getting and getting and getting. And Hashem, in His amazing wisdom, understood that we would not truly be happy if He were to just give us and give us and give us unless we first earned it. If you're able to earn your keep in the next world, and then you're able to enjoy what Hashem has to offer, that is the true and ultimate good. So Hashem created this world first, and He set up this whole system where we have a Yetzer Hara, and we have a Yetzer HaTov, and we have mitzvot. And the whole reason for this is just so that we'll truly enjoy our ultimate good in the next world by earning it. You can't compare somebody who earns and somebody who gets a gift. We give an easy mashal of a boy. His father gives him an allowance. His father gives him $40 a week. The kid is not so, you know, he'll spend the money recklessly. He'll buy candy, he'll buy toy, whatever. It doesn't make a difference to him. But if the boy earned the money himself, he took time out of his own schedule and he went and he shoveled snow and he went to work with his father one day and he earned the money, then that money becomes different money to him. It becomes something that he worked for, something that he'll now get true enjoyment from. He won't spend it recklessly anymore. That's why it says, Ashrei shenehene meyegia kapecha, fortunate is the one who's able to benefit from his own toil. Someone even in this world who's able to work and earn his own and enjoy from the fruits of his own labor is much happier than someone who has to take a handout, someone who has to go collecting. He's not as happy because he didn't earn it. So the whole purpose of this world is, again, for one thing. Hashem loves us. He wants to give us good. He wants to bestow His kindness upon us. So He created us in a system that we could eventually get this good that He has in mind. With this in mind, we could understand now the definition of bitachon. There's two definitions. Number one, being that Hashem created us, He takes responsibility for us. If a father brings a son into the world, he's not going to bring the son into the world and make him fend for himself. You can't bring somebody into the world and say, okay, now you're on your own. Hashem brought us in the world to give us good. And while we're in the world accomplishing this mission, He guarantees, I will take care of you. I guarantee you, while you're in the world and you're accomplishing what you need to accomplish, I am your father, I will take care of you, I'll support you. So number one, you have to rely with a complete faith that we have a father who is looking out for us, and He guarantees us that you will not die of starvation, you will not lust as a decree, like we said, unless a person has a gezerah and Rosh Hashanah, that's how he's supposed to die. But other than that, if a person has to realize he has a father who's guaranteeing him, you will not go hungry, you will not, everything is taken care of. That's number one. Number two, He's going to pay you not only in this world, but you'll be paid for your efforts in the next world. It's a guarantee. Like, I worked for different organizations in my life. Sometimes I worked for an organization and I was very shaky. I wasn't sure if they're going to pay me. Sometimes the check was 3-4 weeks late. And so, you know, I figured they're never going to pay. They're a shaky organization. And sometimes you could be working for somebody else and you know every month the check is there, guaranteed. You don't have to worry about it. That's the way we have to field with Hashem. It's guaranteed there. Put your faith in Him, He'll be there guaranteed. That's number one. And number two, you have to have confidence that everything that happens to you in your life, without exception, every single event that takes place in your life from morning till night till the day you die, is the best thing that could have happened to you. Hashem is there guiding your every step, and He's doing for you the best possible thing for you, for your ultimate good. That's number two. We have to believe, number one, Hashem is guaranteed taking care of us. And number two, everything that happens to us is for our best. That's a very big statement. That means if a guy, lo aleno, he loses his business, he goes out of a job, he has to say at that moment, that's the best thing that could happen to me. Nothing better in my life could happen to me than now. We have to learn how to internalize that, how to really believe that. Because if you could really believe that, then your life is filled with peace. So this begs a very basic question. If everything that happens to my life, everything that happens to me in my life is good, and it's the best thing that ever could happen to me, so if I fail, and my business goes down the tubes, why do I pray, and I say, Hashem, please get me a new business. I'm in the best possible situation now. This is the best thing that could happen to me. Why am I praying to get out of it? That's a big question that they ask. So there's three answers to this question. Answer number one is our job in life. Of course, everything Hashem does for us is the best. But our job in life is we pray to Hashem that we should see the good. Hashem, we want you. Of course, everything is good. But we want to see the good. Not always do we see the good in life. We don't see when we lose our business that it's good for us. We're praying, Hashem, I know it's good, but I want to see the good. When I have money, I see good. When I don't have money, I don't see good. I'm praying, Hashem, make it good. Make that when I have, it's good for me. That's number one. Number two, sometimes a person losing his business was the best thing that could have happened to him. You know why? Because a person needed to be humbled. Hashem saw he was going off, he was going a little bit. He needs to be humbled. And when he got humbled, the result of that downfall in your life, once you achieve that humbleness, that's it, now it's over. Now I can get back. Hashem, okay, please now, give me my money back, please, give me. Once the loss achieved what it needed to achieve, now you don't need it anymore. So we're praying to get out of it because now we're beyond it. Let's go on. Let's move forward. I got my hit. Now let's go on. And number three, even though what's happening to you is the best thing that could happen to you,
However, even when a father has to scold his son, father has to hit his son sometimes, he has to make sure he's on the right path, and the son is suffering, but the father doesn't want to see the son suffer. The father wants the son to be able to get his punishment, but still, he still wants to see his son smiling. So we tell Hashem, Hashem, you know, you don't want to see us like this. Hashem, even though this is the best for us, but make it somehow work it out. Work it out for us that we'll still be smiling at the end of it. So yes, everything that happens to us is for our best, but we still want to see the good in this world. Not always are we going to, but we still are supposed to pray, I want to see the good. Now, these attitudes are supposed to lead to a life of menuchat hanefesh, a life of bliss, a life of peace. If you could think that everything that happens to you in life is for my ultimate benefit, it's the best thing that could have happened to me, a person should never get upset. The masters of this, one of the masters of this was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was known to be a master of bitachon. People said just being in his presence, just watching him, would just comfort them. They could have horrible sadot, their life could be filled with, and they just watched the Chazon Ish, their life changed. A guy told a story. He was walking in Bnei Berak with the Chazon Ish, and he said they were walking on the side of the road, and a car is flying down the road very fast, and a man jumps out from the middle of the street, and he pushes them. He was this guy walking with the Chazon Ish. He knocks into them, and the guy says, "He knocked me over, and he almost knocked the Chazon Ish over." I got up, and he said, "I looked at the Chazon Ish." And he kept walking. He said he didn't even stop to turn around. Didn't even look to see what happened. That's a master of menuchat hanefesh. Nothing could disturb him. Just keep moving on with my business. I heard another story of a rabbi. He also lived in Israel. He used to go prepare for Shabbat very early. He would get home 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, take a shower, put his suit on, and he would go to shul to learn a couple of hours before Mincha and Arbit. So he was on his way to the shul one week. It was middle of the afternoon, 1 o'clock. And there was a lady on her balcony or something. She was pouring out some dirty water from the laundry, whatever. And she poured the whole bucket of water right in the rabbi's head. So someone was witnessing the scene. He said, "I saw this rabbi. He just turned right around, went back to his house, changed, came right back. He didn't even look up. He didn't look up to see what's happening." These are masters of Menuchat Nefesh. Why? What just went on in these two stories? Why didn't the Chazon Ish turn around and why didn't this rabbi look up? Because they know that everything that happens in their life is directly from God. What do I have to look at? He didn't do it to me. This guy didn't do it to me. What do I have to look at them for? And if I stop to turn around, that means I was aggravated. What do you think you're doing? If I know it's the best possible thing that could have happened to me, I say thank you Hashem and I keep walking. These are masters of Menuchat HaNefesh. Nothing could get them down. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that midot you have to have in your pocket. What does that mean? He says sometimes in life you have to get angry. But anger, he says, you have to have in your pocket. You can't really get angry. Take it out. When I need anger, I use anger. But you always have to be in control of yourself. How do you be in control of yourself? Bitachon. The only reason why you get angry is because you feel this shouldn't have happened. But if I know it's the best thing that could happen and it should happen, what am I getting angry for? Chazon Ish said, everybody has to go through life. We're all in it. You're all in life anyway. He says you could go through life angrily and worried, or you could go through life with a smile and peace. He says, either way, it's not going to make a difference. Either way, if you're angry or you're worried, it's not going to help anyway. He says, seems to me the people who go through life with a smile on their face all the time, they have a happier life than the other guy. So you might as well do it anyway. The Maharal says that sometimes we could understand the essence of something from analyzing its opposite. He says, what is the opposite of bitachon? He says, the opposite of bitachon is pachad, is fear. He brings a story of a Gemara in Berachot. There was a rabbi walking with his student, and he saw his student behind him, and his student was frightened, he was scared. He said to his student, you're a sinner. And the student said, what, Rabbi? What are you talking about? He says, what are you scared about? He said, doesn't it say, Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid? Fortunate is the man who's always scared. He says, yeah, that's not talking about in daily life. He says, that's talking about Divrei Torah. If a person's scared, if he's not living up to his potential, he says, but in this world, in Yanei Olam Hazeh, what are you scared about? He says, he compares it to, he says, imagine you had something, a vessel. He says that was so chazak, it was so strong. And you have another vessel that's, you know, it's looks like it's going to break. He says, the vessel that's strong, you're not worried about it at all. You let your kids play with it. Nothing's going to happen to it. He says, when it comes to Olam Hazeh, we're so taken care of. You're a complete strong vessel. Hashem is so taking care of you already. Don't worry, He's worrying about you. You don't need to worry. He's doing the worrying for you. He says, but in Olam Abba, you want to know about spiritual? That's up to you. That's where you should be worrying about. As in, sometimes we put all the focus on the opposite. Sometimes we're worrying all about Olam Hazeh, we're not worrying about Olam Abba. Someone once observed the Chafetz Chaim. They observed him. He was up all hours in the night, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, he's writing. So someone looked through his window. They see him every night writing. So a guy goes over to him, Rabbi, says, what do you write? You have such a small store. What are you keeping the books for so many hours for? I could do it for you in 2 minutes. What, the books? He says, my store, of course. I take a few hours of my store. I'm writing Mishnah Berurah, I'm writing Chafetz Chaim, I'm writing Shemirat HaLashon. My business is a small part of my life. I do it, the next, I move on. That's not where I put all my focus. When a person wants to have bitachon, and he wants to trust in God, you're telling me God's taking care of me, God's going to, whenever I need His help, He's going to help me. The number one reason, the rabbis say, that a person doesn't have bitachon, is because he feels he's not worthy. I know God takes care of people, but I do too many bad things to Him. He's not taking care of me. You know, all day long I'm smacking Him in the face. Why is He going to do good for me? So listen to the Ramban. The Ramban writes on the pasuk, Rabim Achovim LaRasha VeHaboteach BaHashem Chesed Yisovenu. He says, Afilu Rasha, even if you're a Rasha. But if you have bitachon, chesed yisovevenu, there's nothing to do with your merits. He says, even though you have no ma'asim, you don't do anything good, and you're a rasha, don't worry about it. Just trust in God, because Hashem is full of mercy. You're His son. He loves you anyway. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Chafetz Chaim said that the midah bitachon is not dependent on one's merits, even if you're an adam she'eno hagun. And you're not doing what you're supposed to. In the merit of bitachon alone, just realizing, you say, Hashem, I know, I'm nowhere. I'm nowhere without, I can't do anything without you. I'm here, I'm lost, it's a big world, the market's tanking, my business is going down the tubes, I have nothing. All I have is you. And you say, Hashem, just help me. All I have is you. Said, in that merit alone, you could be the biggest rasha, but in that merit alone, okay, He's relying on me, I'll take care of Him. Maharal says, unbelievable. He says, people could be born under a bad mazal. We know the Gemara says that there's three things that are talui in mazal. Luck. You're born under a certain star, and this is what's destined for you. Three things. Banim, children. Hayim, life. And mizoneh, and parnasa. It depends. You're just born under one place, and that's what you're going to get. He says, but that's only without bitachon. He says, but if a person has bitachon, he says, Hashem, I know you're above the stars. And a person could have a decree, lo aleinu, that he's not going to have children. But he says, if he's boteach in Hashem, he goes above the mazalot, and Hashem will give him children anyway. And a person could have a decree for a life without parnasa, but if he has bitachon, he could change the whole life around. This is an amazing tool. A person without this knowledge is, like we said, you can't go through life without this knowledge. So far we have three things we have to know. Number one, that everything that God does to me in my life is for my best. Number two, Hashem will take care of me if I rely on Him in the proper way, even if I have no merits. And this should lead to a feeling of peace, a feeling of menuchat ha-nefesh, I have nothing to worry about, I'm being taken care of. Now, The Chavot HaLevavot continues and he says, if a person would, before we could develop, now he's going to teach us the secret of life now. How do I develop? Now I know what Bitachon is. I know the benefits of Bitachon. How do I develop it? And how do I incorporate it into my life? So he says, before you could trust in God, you have to imagine what qualities would you want in a person if you were going to trust in a person? What qualities would he need to possess for you to trust in him? So he gives a list of 7 qualities that a person has to possess. And if he would possess these 7 qualities, you would be willing to jump off a building and fall into his arms because you're guaranteed he'll take care of you. And he goes through them one by one and he says that Hashem overrides and has all these 7 qualities more than anybody else in the world, and there's nobody who could compete. And after knowing these 7 things, we should come to the ultimate realization that the only one to put our faith is in Hashem. We're going to go through them one at a time. This is the Yisodot right now. These are the fundamentals of Bitachon. Not mastering these 7 ideas will give a person the tools to have Bitachon in life. Number one, he says, if you're going to trust in a man or trust in a person, you have to know that they love you. You can't trust in somebody if they don't love you. They'll backstab you. Take, for example, a parent or a spouse. You need them to do you a favor. So you ask them, please help me. Do you think it's going to get done or not? Well, I know they love me. They want to take care of me. That's enough for me to know that they're going to come through for me. That they love me. He says, but even a parent and even a spouse, there's only so much you could burden them with. So much. Even let's say, take for example a father, especially a guy who's married already. You ask your father for a favor, Dad, I need some help. Okay, no problem, I'll help you. You ask him again, no problem, I'll help you. Again, how many times could you keep asking him for help? Hajar, sometimes he's going to say, you know, you got to try to fend for yourself. Or even for your spouse, you ask, I need a favor. Okay, I'll do it. Again, again, again. How many times are you going to burden her? He says, there's only one person that you could keep asking and asking and burdening and burdening and burdening. It's never too much. Who is that? Yourself. Yourself. You love yourself more than anybody loves you. You love yourself more than you love anybody else. People love themselves. That's the way we were created. And no matter how difficult the task is, no matter what needs to be done, and no matter how many times you have a craving for something, you want it, you'll do it. You'll get up in the middle of the night, you'll do it. Whatever it takes to be, I'll do it. I'll keep asking myself. Why? Because I love myself. The Sefarim tell us, unbelievable. The Sefarim tell us that Hashem loves a person more than the person loves himself. Say it again. Hashem loves you more than you love yourself. This thought right here should be such a soothing thought that the creator of the world, the master of the world, who's in charge of everything, wants to do for you. He wants you to have it more than you do. And you could ask him 100 times, 1,000,000 times, and keep burdening him, and it's nothing for him because you could do it in a second. I always thought, you know, I always thought when I was younger, I'm doing the mitzvot because, you know, I figured like Hashem's out there with his rod, and I'm doing it. I said, I don't want to get hit. You know, let me, I'll put on my tefillin, I'll put on tzitzit. What else do you want me to do? You want me to eat kosher? Okay, just please, don't hurt my family. You know, I don't want anybody to die. Just come on, just help me. No, it's not like that. It's not, it's a whole new ball game. It's not like that. He doesn't want to hurt you. Hashem loves you. He hates to see when you're disappointed. He doesn't want to punish you. So you'll ask, so what do you mean? Why do we see people getting punished, people getting hit? It's like a father, like we said, who has so much mercy. He loves his son so much. I don't want to see him go off the derech. I can't. My son, I had this whole plan for him. I had this plan. I want him to grow up, go into my business, go be successful. He's going off the path. Let me give him a little direction. When Hashem punishes us, it's with such love. He says, I have a master plan for you. I want you to end up in Olam Haba. I want you to bask in my Shekhinah forever and ever. You're going a little off, and let me take care of all the punishment is with love. He doesn't want you to get hurt. He doesn't want to see you crying. That's all. He loves you more than you love yourself. That's number one. Now, how do we internalize this? How do you internalize this? Because this is a major one. That if you don't internalize that Hashem loves me and He only wants my benefit and He's constantly looking out for me. So the Sefarim tell us that a person shows love to somebody else. And sometimes you see the way they love you by what they do for you. You see a person does for you, he gives you, he keeps... That's how you see that they love you. How does a person see that Hashem loves him? He has to appreciate all of the blessings that God gave you in your life. You have to think about your life for a minute. Say, how much good did God give me? You have to think. A person has it. It takes thought. But you have to say, if you're healthy, a guy is able to walk, a guy is able to talk, he has eyes, he has an... What a beracha, I'm able to think, I'm able to go to work, I'm able to go to shul. What a beracha, Hashem loves me, made me healthy. There's so many people out there that lo aleinu, that have so much sarod. You go, the hospitals are filled with crippled people. Aruch Hashem, He loves me, He made me healthy. A person has a wife, a person has children. Wow, the family, Hashem loves, look, He gave me a place, He gave me a house, He gave me, what a beautiful community I live in. I have a shul down the block. Whenever I want, his class is available. He made it so easy for me. So what? Okay, my business isn't doing so good right now. Okay, I'll turn it around. We keep the cycle of life keeps moving. He loves me. He's taking care of me. The more you think about how much you're blessed, because we're all blessed. We don't know how much we're blessed. We can't. Don't look at all the bad. Look at the good. Look at how much good God does for you. And realize how much He loves you. And it's such a soothing feeling. Again, like we said, the master of the world loves me more than I love myself. That's the first thing that we have to internalize. Number two, the second quality that's necessary in a person, if you want to trust in them, is that they have to be concerned and worried about your needs. They have to be worried. They have to care about you, worried about you. So we'll take again, a parent is worried about their child, a spouse is worried about the other spouse. They have to know where you are at all times. I want to make sure everything's good for you. But a father and a spouse is not always aware of all our problems. It's not always is a person ready to talk and tell everyone what his problems. Sometimes you have deep-rooted problems that you can't speak about them, you can't talk about it. And if they don't know about your problems, they can't help you. Because that's it, they don't know. He says, but we have to realize that Hashem is with us wherever we are. And Hashem knows all of your problems. One of the 13 principles of faith is that Hashem is Yodea Machshevot Bnei Adam. He knows your thoughts. He knows exactly what problem you have now. And He's right there waiting to help you. He wants you to ask Him. Just Hashem, waiting for you to turn to Him. Hashem, please help me. I have this problem. Please. Sometimes we're in the most difficult situations and you feel all alone. I feel abandoned. I feel there's no way out. Realize that Hashem is right next to you. And he's right there. He knows your problem and He wants to help you. And when you have this feeling also, you never feel alone. It's also the Boteach BaHashem. He doesn't have to walk around feeling abandoned, feeling alone. He knows he has God on his side at all times. When a guy's walking down the street and he's in a dangerous neighborhood or he's in a spot where he gets a little scared, think at that moment. God is right with me. He's standing right next to me. He knows where I am. He's in control of the world. He sees me at all times. This should be a soothing feeling. Don't be scared. Again, like we said, the opposite of bitachon is fear. I have God by my side. Hashem li lo ira. Hashem is with me. I don't have anything to fear about. So that's number two. Again, a person has to know, number one, Hashem loves me more than I love myself. Number two, Hashem is right there and waiting to help me. Number three, if you wanted to trust in a person, the person has to be capable of delivering what you need. A lot of times, people love you, they want to help you, but they just can't. Yes, I come to a guy, my problem, you know my problem is? I need $1 million. I love you, but I don't have it. I can't take care of you. A guy goes, I love you so much, but what's my problem? You have a Lo'aleinu, a health problem. The people can't take care. They can't do it for you. So you can trust in a person, but he can't come through because he's not capable. A person has to know that Hashem, who we're trusting in, the one who loves you, the one who's right there waiting to help you, he is capable. There's nothing beyond his capabilities. Everything that you need in your life, he could do in 1 second. It's nothing. It's simple to him. A guy, like we said, his business is going down. I need help, immediate help. You can't call up the government and ask for a bailout plan. Who do you need? Hashem could save the day in 1 second. A person, the customers aren't buying my product. There's no need for my product anymore. Hashem can give them a need for your product. All of a sudden, 1 second he makes this need, this craze. Why they come up with a new TV show and my product is there? Boom! You can make millions in 1 second. It's nothing's beyond his capabilities. It's easy to him. If you have a problem, he's capable of solving it. It's not your job. It's not your job to worry about it. Just ask him to help you, and Hashem will send you the answer. It's his, like we said, a father who has a child. He doesn't want the child to be worried all the time, and how am I going to do this? Don't worry, boy, I'll take care of you. Don't worry, it's my job. I brought you in the world. I have to support you. You don't worry about it. Now, God willing, in a class in the future, we're going to talk about how capable God is, how awesome this world is, the whole class in itself. We're not going to get into it now, but just know Hashem is capable of doing anything in a second. Number 4, the person who you trust in has to know that what you need is good for you. Sometimes, the person who you're trusting in, he tries to help you, he means well, but I don't need this. Thank you very much. He thinks he means well. He's trying to help you, but thank you, but no thank you. You know, you got me. I needed a house over here. You got me a house in Jinnis. I don't need that. I need something over here. Hashem knows, like we said, exactly what you need. Nobody knows better than the manufacturer of how the product should operate. Hashem manufactured us. He knows what we need to operate properly. This is the main one right now. That Hashem knows what you need more than you know yourself. There were so many times, a person has to realize, there were so many times in everyone's lives where we thought something was good for us and we were trying to get it so badly and in the end, it was horrible. And there's other times where you thought, this is the worst thing for me and it turned out to be the best. Someone told me a story of his father was in retail and his store's burnt down and the father said, "Oh, my store's burnt down, what am I going to do now?" And he went into a different business and the business boomed 1,000,000,000 times better than what he was in. So what was he thinking when the business went burned down? He was thinking, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? It was really the best. Hashem had to get you out of there fast. This is how he did it. Hashem has many ways. Sometimes we don't understand them. Yosef HaSadiq. Yosef was sold into slavery. It looked like the bleakest situation. He was being sent away from his family, his brothers, being abandoned. It turned out to be the best possible thing for him. He became the viceroy of Mitzrayim. He saved his whole family. Things look bad sometimes, but they're really great. I was listening to an interview that it was a plane crash last month. Everybody in the plane crashed and the plane died. And they're interviewing this guy who missed the plane. And he's saying, "Wow, I'm so thankful I missed the plane. I'm so thankful." What was going through his mind when he missed the plane? He was, "Ah, I missed this plane. I gotta go. Now kill me another 3 hours." But it was the best for him. We don't always see. We don't always see the good. But if we could believe while what we think is bad is happening, we know that's really good. Then it's a different life. I was trying to convince somebody to learn in the morning. Just telling him, you know, you learn after shul, it'll be good. He says, "Yeah, but I got to get to work. I said, you know, I get to work a half hour late. I said, I can't be that Hashem's going to take away your parnasa if you do good. That's what I told him. I said, maybe, you know, you're supposed to get to the city. It takes you 45 minutes. You'll get there in 20 because you learned that. Okay, I told him, I don't know what I made up something. So the guy comes to me. I'll come tomorrow. He comes to me the day after. And he says, I was in traffic yesterday for 1 hour. I came to the class in traffic for 1 hour. You told me it normally takes me a half hour. I'm in traffic for an hour. I said, he said, yeah, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I said, why? He said, I was planning on getting to the city 9:30. I was going to sell 2 stocks. I was going to sell them right at the opening. He said, I didn't get to work till 10:15. And he said, the stocks went up. Both of them went up 3-4 points. He made a ton of money. It was great. Now, what was going through his mind while he was on the road? Ah, traffic. Oh, we're doing Torah. It's killing me. But it turned out to be the best thing. The goal of our life is, while the bad is happening, or we think bad is happening, at that time you have to say, no, it's good. It's good, because it is good. You're right, we're not always going to see the results immediately. We're not going to see. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. But it's such a healthy life. It's a healthy attitude. I saw this story over here. There was two people on a subway. And the conductor says, sorry everyone, the subway is broken, off the subway. And one guy gets off the subway, kicking himself, killing himself, ugh, I'm going to be late to my meeting, and he's all upset. And the other guy says, thank you Hashem, it's the best thing that could have happened to me. And they both got to their meetings late, they both got to their offices late. He says, but one guy did it, and it probably took 10 minutes off his life. He's killing himself. He's developing an ulcer. And the other guy said, oh, it's beautiful. It's okay. Did anything change in their lives? Nothing. But this guy had a peaceful day, and this guy's day was ruined. A rabbi once said, he was studying bitachon, and he was coming out of the class, and he bumped his head on the door, and he said, thank you, Hashem. And he said, I didn't really mean that at the time, but I know it's good. And he says, the more I say it, the more I believe it. How do we believe that when we're going through pain, it's really good? I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you have a guy, he's up, it's the World Series, it's the bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, the bases are loaded, tie game, and you're up, and the guy throws the pitch, and he beams you right in the arm, and the guy's feeling pain, but the run scores, and you win the game. You don't even feel the pain. Wow, we won the series, it was worth it, the pain was awesome. That's what you have to feel. If we know that the pain that we're undergoing is the best thing, you know what it's doing for me? Who knows? It's atoning for my sins. I don't know what it's doing for me. I don't know what. I don't know God's cheshbon, but I know it's the best thing. When you could feel while the pain is happening, wow, it's great. It's great. That is the key to a peaceful and successful life. Be'ezrat Hashem, will continue next week. There's nothing. You don't lose anything from this. Doesn't cost you anything, these attitudes. These attitudes could only help you, and they really are good. But the more you convince yourself, the more at peace you'll be.